And we are off and running live here on a Wednesday in Nashville. Sleigh Ride 2.0 has arrived. Nick Hale, Ron Sleigh here on 104.5 The Zone on a day where Danny White has found his man. And he didn't have to go searching too far as we are with you until 12 o'clock today. Ron Sleigh, what's up, man? Good to be back with you.
Man, I'm good, Nick, man. I'm glad to be back with you, dude. Some breaking news, man, is earth-shattering. You know what I mean? All the planes that fell out the sky, we finally got what we were looking for. You know, and not necessarily everybody did, but I'm in agreement. We'll dive into it, man, and let's get straight to it, not even playing games with it.
No question about it. Loaded today, your phone calls at 615-737-1045. You're going to want to get involved. 10:20 is when we will take some calls today because we are loaded. Buck Fitzgerald, Vol for Life, 1998 National Champion at 10:30. Braden Gall from 440 Sports at 10:45. We will try to get Travis Stevens, former Vol running back, at 11. We were going to have him at 11:30. With the Vols presser coming up at 11:05, we will try to flip-flop those in our number two. But obviously, Ron, the big news is that UCF's Josh Heupel is finalizing a deal. It's official. He is your next head coach at Tennessee. I woke up this morning, fired up Twitter, saw the reports from Pete Tamel of Yahoo and everybody else that were reporting that Heupel's the guy. And look, Danny White is bringing his guy to Knoxville. And I think we need to kind of take a step back before you calculate in an opinion, whether it's emotional, calculated, or logical. I think you take a step back, you think this through. Dondi Plowman comes in. She says, you know what? I'm hiring Danny White to be our athletic director. Uh-huh. He comes in. Then the university brings in a search firm. They make Danny White one of the highest paid ADs in the country. And you have Dondi and you have Danny and the search firm. And they come up with Josh Heupel. Now, you can sit there and say, this is Danny White trusting his guy, a guy that he knows, he has a relationship with, had success with. You could take the negative spin. Nobody wanted the job. Oh, my God, we have to settle for the UCF guy. Or it could very well be a combination of both. I think a lot of people are saying, let's take a wait-and-see approach, which is fine. If you love the hire, that's fine. Right. If you despise the hire, that's fine. But it's going right. to be a very interesting couple of days with reaction.
I totally agree. We're coming into it. You know, it's at this point, man, you bring a guy in like Danny White and you get on him about what hire. You try to create a narrative where you can get the hire as being fans and who you're going to listen to. But if you bring me into a position to change the culture, get you out of the slums and get you back to prominence where the program should be, where you feel it should be, you as fans, coaches, alums, everything, where you think it should be, I'm going to go out and hire somebody I can put my name on and I trust. You know, if my name's on the line and I got to go out there and do and stand by this in front of millions watching, regardless if you like it or not, I got to be able to go home and sleep well with it. And I think that's what Danny did. You know, he leaned on some guys, you know, to help him out in the process, went and interviewed people. And like you said, looking at one approach of it, this isn't the job that everybody wants. You know what I'm saying? Like we went out there and we sanctioned ourselves in a sense. So what coach is going to be knocking at the door? Hey, let me in. Come on now. These people ran from the neighborhood, not only the house. They ran from the neighborhood. This man was brought in. He bought the house. And guess what? He's bringing his own people in. That's fine, man. And then you got to look at his track record. I'm fine with it. No problems. Heupel, you know what it's like to win in big time college football. Individual accolades, check the box. Going to be an OC, check the box. Going to be a head coach, check the box. Yeah, maybe he did play with Scott Frost's guys. Did you want him to get rid of him? You know, and bring in a lot of JUCO guys or what? You know, you got to go with the hand you dealt, just like him walking into this situation. He's playing with the hand he's dealt. We got to give him a time. And it's like Texas Hold'em, man. We don't know what cards have been dealt. He's got his hand, but we got to see what's laid on the table in front of him, who he brings in. A sandwich is just a sandwich, Nick, until you put everything around it, your chips, your juice, your pickle, everything else. So we got to wait, man. You got to wait and be patient. But hey, we're here for it all, man. We want to hear everybody's opinion. That's mine right now.
For sure. 737-1045. I tweeted this before I went to bed last night. I said, Vols fans, you may have to settle for a lesser name. you don't have to settle for lesser results. Mm-hmm. And I saw a couple of tweets from guys that have covered Josh Heupel in the Orlando and Tampa area, news anchors, TV guys. One guy, Adam Shadoff of Fox 35 in Orlando, says, "I will say this surrounding the Josh Heupel to Tennessee talk tonight. Danny White has done an exceptional job at keeping past hires completely quiet and stopping any leaks. A leak like this would be a shock," which is interesting because he has been very clandestine with the way he went about this search. Another gentleman in Tampa who covers UCF said, "Every UCF fan should be rooting for this. Heupel is a good coach, good recruiting, but he's not the right guy for the Knights. Let him go be the wrong guy at Tennessee." And I got to tell you, Ron, that kind of pissed me off a little bit. Yeah. So when I woke up this morning, I did a little research. And I just want to point this out for Volunteer fans that don't like the hire, that think this was the only guy that they could get. And maybe it was, mm-hmm. but Scott Frost at UCF 2016, he was 6-7. Then in 2017, 13-0 national champions, according to their marketing company,
mythical
national champions, right. You know, touting all of that. And since Scott Frost left UCF at Nebraska, 4-8, 5-7, 3-5, he's 12-20. I mean, they act like Scott Frost was the reincarnation of Newt Rockne at Notre Dame 70 years ago. He's been a head coach for 5 years. He's had four losing seasons.
Right.
Josh Heupel takes over. 2018, he goes 12-1. Then he drops off to 10-3. And then last year, 6-4. But still 28-8, a win percentage better than Scott Frost. And prior to Frost at UCF, you know, the historical power of the state of Florida, UCF, not the U,
not the Gators,
Gators, right. UCF, the Knights. Right. George O'Leary was there from 04 to 2015, and he had a win percentage of 54%. So let's not act like Josh Heupel, you know, killed a historical program like he's Derek Dooley, right. or Butch Jones or anything right. else. All right? Let's keep that in perspective. Do your research. This guy's not a stiff.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. You know, dating back to when they won the mythical national championship, look at Danny White, what he did with that. He had all of us believing like, man, maybe they are national championships. We were thinking, man, they should really do the playoffs, do the BCS over, like look into it. Everybody should get a chance. He did that, man, with what he was given. Brought in Josh Heupel and let him take over for Scott Frost. Did a job, man, that not everybody necessarily wanted, you know, so it's the same situation here. Those people that knock him leaving UCF, take him, we don't want him. That always sounds good, man, when you can go home and get behind the closed doors and cry. You know, I guarantee one thing for sure, you won't be feeling that way. And I'm going to be a firm believer. I'm going to stand on it. You won't feel that way in 2 years. You'll be wishing he was back. You'll be wondering, how did UT get him for so much less, that less amount of money? You know what I'm saying? I think it'll be a steal in the near future. And I'm willing to stand on that, man. So I think Josh Heupel gets his opportunity. And he, to me, seems like a guy, you saw his career in college. He's a guy that loves to play with a chip on the shoulder, you know, loves to go unnoticed. Look at the guys he passed in the Heisman race. LaDainian, those guys were, they were touted to go get it. This was a guy that stepped up and led the Hoosiers, man, to a national championship. So, I mean, it's totally different, man. And if we're going to believe in Danny White and say, ooh, this is a great hire, we're going to roll with him, trust and believe in what he's doing. That's where we stand on that.
Here's some numbers for you. When he was at UCF, Josh Heupel, 2018, 19, and 20. Mm-hmm. In 2018, they were sixth in the country out of 130 FBS programs in yards per play at 6.8 a clip. 2019, they were seventh at 6.7 yards per play. 2020, they dropped off to 16th. Mm-hmm. He's had quarterbacks like Dylan Gabriel, Mackenzie Milton. So here's what I know about Josh Heupel. This team is going to run an up-tempo offense, a lot of spread, a lot of things that drive guys like a Nick Saban completely crazy. And you look, I mean, year one, year two, sanctions, who knows what limitations are placed on this program. Right. But there's a good chance that, you know, maybe the ceiling early on is what Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss this year, you know, right around 500. You know, they win five games, something in that area. But you know what? They're going to score a lot of points. and they're going to rack up a lot of yards in doing so until he can truly get his guys, until everything kind of settles down. But, like, this is where football is going. Heupel's 41 years old. He's a former quarterback. You mentioned it, Heisman runner-up in 2000 at Oklahoma. He's a former OC with Missouri, so he's been in this conference in 2016 and 17.
Right.
He worked with a guy like Drew Locke, who's now the Denver Broncos quarterback. Now, if you want to point out his recruiting, which is mediocre at best at UCF, that's fair, which I think shows the record declining in the last couple of years.
Right.
But this guy can rack up some points. We might suck for a while.
Yeah,
it's going to be an exciting version of sucking.
Right. And then what you got to realize, man, I remember the last two or three years sitting there watching the games when Josh Dobbs left and we had this offense. It was kind of like watching Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl, for you people, to you listeners that are not old enough, it was a Nintendo game, a football game. You had about six plays that you picked from, and the person you're playing had the opportunity to see what you're picking. They can guess. That's what I felt like I was doing. Picking, okay, it's a run. It's a sweep. It's a long pass. We're going to throw it up. But, hey, man, that's over and done with. The college game has evolved. The pro game has evolved. It has to be up-tempo. You got to keep guys on their toes. And I think he can do that, you know, regardless of what his recruiting is. That's when you're in a situation under the big lights. That's what you got the T. Martins and the Gardeners and those guys front. And if you don't like them, go hire somebody else that has connections with the West Coast, the teams in Texas. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you put a team around you for. You as the head coach are a manager. The manager, like we talked about yesterday, you delegate those spots to people that can handle that. No, nobody said you had to be a heck of a recruiter, but guess what? I got the number one recruiter on my staff, pays dividends down the line. So that's my take on that. And I hope everyone, people that are upset right now, listen, man, it's never, ever, ever a friendly hire, man. Even when you can hire the big name, you can get that pretty bag of chips and they crumble the chips up. One thing you know is when you open it up and they still crumble, you turn it up, that flavor is still at the bottom of the bag, baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to eat it. I'm eating it. That's big slay.
Right.
Now what?
I like it. All right, Vols fans, let's hear from you. Take a break from Twitter. Put your phone down. Stay away from the keyboard.
Ooh, that's going to be difficult.
Actually, you're going to have to pick up your phone because you're going to call us at 615-737-1045. Vols fans, your reaction, where do you stand on this? Is it wait and see? Do you hate the hire? Is this, you know, the typical Tennessee settling and we're going to pay him $4 million and we can't get the guy for $7 or $8 million? Where do you guys stand on this? 615-737-1045, the number, 737-1045. This will be one of your only chances on this show to get in on the phones because Buck Fitzgerald will join us at 10:30, Braden Gall at 10:45. We'll try to get Travis Stevens in here at the top of hour two, and then the press conference coming up at 11:30 today. So we'll try to shoot through as many calls as we can when we come back. 737-1045, get in now. Nick Kale, Ron Slay, Slay Ride 2.0. We're back after this, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back in 1022 live here on a Wednesday, a huge Wednesday in the state of Tennessee as the Volunteers have their next head coach, Nikhail Ron Slay, here on 104.5 The Zone. 737-1045 is the number. And Ron, here we go. So the Josh Heupel era begins. I would say really a mixed bag of reviews so far. There's the wait and see crowd. There's the crowd that does not like it at all, feeling like, hey, you know,
right.
we bring in Danny White, the AD, and he's relegated to bringing his old coach from UCF in. And then there's the crowd out there that maybe really likes this hire because of what could be offensively. And that, to me, is the selling point, Ron. This guy can call – he can call plays. He can coordinate offenses. I don't know what Tennessee will be short term. Right. But I'm willing to go out on a limb and say they will at least score a good amount of points.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if you look back, him in the SEC with Missouri, they did come up to come up and play Tennessee and won 50-17. So putting up 50 points, I wouldn't say that's just a small feat. But one thing I will say is, man, all you listeners that are out there, man, that are upset, please call in. We love to hear from you. We love to hear from you. So my phone's blowing up right now, Nick. I mean, it's text messages left and right and people sharing it with me. Don't share it with me. Share it with the masses. They want to hear from you also. 615-737-1045. We can't say the number enough, man. Call in, share it, man. The sleigh ride. Just remember, when you get in here, keep your arms and legs inside the ride, man. Me and Nick rolling. So come on in with it.
All right, let's get to the calls right now. First up this morning is Rick. Rick, you're on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, gentlemen. Enjoy your show as always.
Man, I appreciate it, Rick.
Just have a quick message to all the naysayers out there. Come on, guys. Let's get behind our new AD, our new coach, and most of all, our beloved ball football team. Let's be positive. Let's break out the Mecca, M-T-G-A, Make Tennessee Great Again, hats and T-shirts, and let's get behind them in full steam ahead. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right, Rick, appreciate the phone call. You know, it's interesting. Last week when Danny White became the AD, it was almost universal acceptance on the Twitter streets. And all I saw was home run hire, run hire. Like, I thought I was playing a baseball game for a second. Right. So if you think it's a home run hire, I mean, look, I get it. It's your opinion. When new information becomes available, you can change your opinion. But I can't imagine all the home run hire crowd now all the saying, all like, well, Josh Heupel's, what is he, a bloop single?
Exactly. Exactly. And I'll share with the sentiments of Rick, man. Let's make Tennessee great again. We're right down the path to it, man. And like you said, we agree with it. And a guy that's an alum, an old alum, in a sense, being me, I've went through the coaching changes. I went through the AD changes. I went from the glory years of a Doug Dickey and then going on and seeing a Mike Hamilton come in. And I remember, man, like, people wasn't hype when Doug Dickey was there, you know, but he was putting winning programs out there, and that was the product. So, man, give it all the chance. If you gave, and listen, Mike Hamilton, I love Mike Hamilton, but if you gave Mike Hamilton a chance and you trusted his judgment, do the same thing right here, man. Just fast forward the years. We're trying to get back to that, is so we say, but let's see if we can do that, people. Enjoy it. Like, don't, okay, it's okay to get out there and bash a little bit, but when the dust settles, make sure you're still standing there, because we want to see who's clapping at the end of the day.
737-1045. Blake is next on 104.5 The Zone. Blake, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Good. Love the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I think it's a pretty good hire. The only thing is, I think where he's going to be judged is not his offensive capability as who he hires defensively. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it's going to come through, because, I mean, he's proven he can. He can score a lot of points, put up the numbers, you know, with the talent he's had, and I think he's going to have comparable talent, if not better, you know, in the upcoming years. So I think it's his defense that's going to be the thing that sets him apart.
No, very true, Blake, and we appreciate the call. And on your point with defense, Heupel's going to make $4 million annually. And I'm looking at Pete Tamble's piece on Yahoo, which, and I'm quoting Pete here, which will allow him and leave him ample salary for a big name defensive coordinator and a staff that can recruit the SEC footprint. But here's the thing on the defensive front. And of course, you know, with this offense, you're certainly going to want to have a good defense. But look around the landscape of college football right now. The days of defenses holding the opposition to 10 points per game are long gone. You no longer can have a great defense in college football statistically. You can have a very good defense, whether it's the Georgias, the Alabamas. But even those defenses, we're seeing with the way the game's officiated, the up-tempo, the spread, the way the game has transitioned. I mean, if you can hold teams to 20 points a game, that's a win most weeks.
Man, without question. You know, you look at it and you ask, if a defense was winning championships necessarily, the scores wouldn't be in the 40s and teams running away and winning by 25 points, looking at i.e. Ohio State, what they did to Clemson. You know what I'm saying? So it goes hand in hand, man. You got to be able to get out there and score points and hopefully recruit in those situations and get the guys in those spots that can make big time plays at very particular times. If we can get that, then it'll be fine. We're not gonna have the Al Wilsons and the Eric Metz-Morelands and Raynock Thompson, those guys holding shutouts and things of that nature. But we can get that ball spread around where we're not having predictable plays being run for 3 yards in a cloud of dust and, against a high-powered team that's going to score the ball every time.
So in Pete Tamble's piece for Yahoo, the other names that were associated with the search at Tennessee included Penn State's James Franklin, Clemson offensive coordinator Tony Elliott, and Buffalo's Lance Leipold. I'm from an area of Pennsylvania that's very close in proximity to where James Franklin is from. He went to East Stroudsburg University in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. And I wouldn't say that he and I have a similar friend, but we have an acquaintance that we both have a connection with. And I talked to him a few days ago, and I was going to save this until we got to this point because I didn't know if Franklin would be a legit option or not. I didn't think it was a realistic possibility. But James Franklin viewed Penn State as a top five job. And from what I was told from our mutual acquaintance, he viewed Tennessee as barely a top 20 program.
Hey.
So if that's true, and if you view it that way, you're not taking a drop from 5 to 15 or 5 to 20 for whatever
right.
that's worth.
Right. And I agree with that. You look at the guys like that, and you look around the SEC, which James Franklin has been in, and you see, like, Tennessee goes from 21.5 points a game. The upper echelon, Alabama, okay, was different. 48 points a game. Then you drop off to Florida, 39 points. Ole Miss, 39. Texas A&M, 32. Georgia, a running team, 32 points per game. This says we got to score points. 21 will not get it done. I'm sorry, people. Not in this day and age.
All right, let's welcome in our first guest of the morning here on 104.5 The Zone, a two-time SEC champion, a 1998 national champion, and VFL. Buck Fitzgerald joins Nick and Ron here on 104.5 The Zone. Buck, good morning. We appreciate a couple of minutes.
How you doing, Nick? You doing all right?
We are doing well. Good to have you in. So let's just start. Here we go. Josh Heupel, you see the news. Your reaction is what?
Well, first of all, I have to meet my brother. I have to greet my brother, Ronald Sylvester Slay. And in the words of the great Tender in the Pearl Cone Stadium, PA announcer, Ron Slay! Ron Slay!
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on with us this morning, Buck, man. Hey, and for you listeners out there, man, this guy is a guy that's been around Tennessee for a long time. Winning goes in his DNA from his dad, Coach Fitzgerald, to his nephew putting in work right now at Tennessee State University. Buck Fitzgerald, man, national champion, a big brother to me, too. And everybody can't get on this station and holler out some Ronald Sylvester Slay. So we'll leave that right there. But only my guy can. Buck, what you think so far on this hire, man? What's your sentiments of it?
Well, I heard you guys' dialogue earlier. I guess you can put me in the wait and see category. You know, I think Josh Heupel is a very good offensive mind, and he can coach football. I think that Pruitt was a great defensive mind and can coach football. So, you know, winning at Tennessee is a different thing. I, like most fans, most Tennessee fans, you can call us delusional. But I think that the program deserves to be at the upper levels of the SEC in college football. And so obviously that's not where we are. And but at the same time, I don't feel like that we should expect an 8-win program to be and call that successful. So with that said, you know, can Josh Heupel get Tennessee to the SEC championship game and back where we feel like the program belongs? Again, that's going to be a wait and see situation.
Buck, what is a fair way to evaluate the progress that Josh either makes or doesn't? Because we're looking, I mean, we've had so many coaches in the last 15 years, you know, you've got these looming impending sanctions in all likelihood. I mean, here's a guy who's a young guy by coaching standards, offensive background, quarterback. that's where the sport, both on Saturdays and Sundays, is transitioning to, that young offensive mind that can put up points. You know, I mean, are we going to look at this and say he gets a complete mulligan for the first year or two? If there are sanctions, is he getting 3 years, 5 years? I feel like a lot of people want to place a definitive time frame on when we'll know or when we won't know. I think we just have to use our eyes, to be completely honest, Buck. We'll know at some point whether this guy is the guy or if he's just another long list of guys that didn't get it right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. And, you know, I think that by year two, you should know. And then I also ask people who say, you know, give him time, give him time. Is he cashing the check? If he cashing the check, then, you know, you two guys are expected to deliver. You cash that check, you got to deliver. And so they're paying him good money. You know, the fan base should expect a good product to be put on the field of play. And so, you know, he doesn't obviously have to win an SEC championship in the first year, but there should be a well-coached team that plays hard, and then you're seeing real strides and progress made. And then, you know, in my opinion, you should see something, you know, approaching close to a finished product in year two, at the end of year two, going into year three. And so, like you said, I think we'll know relatively soon in today's age whether a guy is a guy or not. You know, Lane Kiffin and those guys at Ole Miss, they put a very competitive product on the field in year one. They had no spring practice. You know, you hear everybody using COVID as an excuse. Well, you know, Coach Kiffin and then the new coach at Arkansas, they didn't have spring practice, and they put a very good product on the field in year one. So, you know, I really expect to see, you know, improvement and a good product on the field.
Well, Buck, we're joined by our guest, Buck Fitzgerald. Buck, you have a prominent academy in the sense, National Playmakers Academy, where you have the pulse, your finger on the pulse of recruiting and high school guys coming in and out. What do you think this holds, just as him not having his staff hired right away, but where do you think the recruits lie in seeing a guy like Josh Heupel come in, knowing what he did at Missouri, knowing what he did at UCF, knowing his background of, you know, spreading the ball out and getting it to guys and putting up some points? What do you think recruits look at him, if you could gauge that without crossing any lines or hurting anything?
Yeah. No, I think that they are, you know, these recruits, you know, these days it's what can you do for me as far as how can you develop my game and get me, if I'm an elite player, which Tennessee should be recruiting, to the next level and an opportunity to play on Sunday and play an exciting style of ball and have a chance at winning. And so, you know, recruiting is sales. He's going to have to come in, reach these guys, be energetic, and be attractive, and let them and sell a vision, because, you know, they hadn't seen this coaching staff on the field at Tennessee yet. So he's going to have to sell a vision, sell hope, and have them envision where they'll be in 2 to 3 years and 4 to 5 years. And so, you know, I think, again, they're going to be wait and see, because these young men, they don't remember Ron Slay. They don't remember, right, Al Wilson. They don't remember, you know, Albert Haynesworth and John Henderson. So all they know is Tennessee is a losing program. All they know is it's cool to go outside state. And then the other problem is, you know, you hear what Tennessee football is not, but there's, you know, big time first round talent in this area, and everybody's coming into this area. Tennessee lost 9 out of 10 top recruits in the state in this past class. All right. You know, they're going to schools like Ohio State and Ole Miss and et cetera, you know, Georgia. So, you know, other people value Tennessee. They're coming in, they're raiding the state as far as recruits. And so, first off, Heupel is going to have to defend and put a fence around the state, specifically Middle Tennessee. So, you know, it's going to be kind of a wait-and-see deal. You know, the recruits are just like the fans. They've become apathetic to the University of Tennessee football program. And so they're going to have to bring excitement back to it.
Buck, final one for me. We got about 90 seconds left. I feel like in any walk of life, it's good to collaborate with other good minds, but there's a limit and there's a cutoff where you have too many hands in the kitchen and too many cooks and too many chefs sticking their hands in it, and it becomes a big mess, whether that's running a college football program, a business, you name it. Look, let's face it. Danny White, he comes in highly respected. Everybody said home run hire. He ends up hiring his guy, Josh Heupel. Will all the external noise die down at Tennessee from boosters to whether Philip Fulmer has a say, Peyton Manning has a say? Can we just let the guys who are in charge put out the entree, or are we going to have too many people meddling here?
Man, that's a great point, Nick, because, you know, the University of Tennessee in the last 10 to 15, probably 20 years, has been a complete dumpster fire. You know, you see time and time again, Tennessee goes out of its way to be a cheap program. They don't want to invest in human capital. It's all this other stuff that doesn't matter to people. And then, you know, I feel like that the program has lost its soul. And it's all about the bottom line, squeezing profit from popcorn to tickets and everything else. And so, you know, I hope that he's able to come in and coach and not have to deal with all the shenanigans that's been going on. I'm pessimistic about that, though, because we're seeing time and time again the program, the mismanagement of the program is disgusting. And so from a former player's point of view, that needs to be addressed. And everybody's kind of glossing over that. You hit the nail on the head, Nick. That's a problem. And nobody wants to talk about or admit that. And so will he have a chance? You know, it's going to be tough because you have power struggles, you have politics, you have a cheap, you know, mentality up there right now. And hopefully that changes.
Buck, great spot, man. We really appreciate the time and best of luck with everything else you've got going on professionally and personally.
Most definitely.
Thank you, fellas.
Appreciate you coming on, brother.
There he is, Buck Fitzgerald, VFL, two-time SEC champion, 1998 national champion, of course, with T. Martin and that squad. There you go, Ron. I mean, yeah. Buck didn't really mince words.
No, he didn't.
Said it's pretty disgusting. Just stay out of the way. You believe in the guys you've hired. Mm-hmm. Now let them go do their job.
Yeah, I think, and that's what he touched on. You know, I share those same sentiments, and I think a lot of the other former balls, especially from that era, share the same thing. You know, it's not something that's welcoming, you know, and I wanted to ask him about the culture of it. You know, what does he see the difference is, but we'll get into that later. But I think he's right on, man. You got to get guys to move out the way and can't expect something that hasn't been there to be done, you know, so we'll see where it goes from here.
All right, we're going to get out of the way, pay a couple of bills, and we'll be back with Braden Gall of 440 Sports. Braden, of course, a UT alum, so very interesting to see what he has to say about the hire. We'll do that as we wrap up hour number one of Slay Ride 2.0. Nick Cale, Ron Slay, 104.5 The Zone. All right, welcome back in 1047 here on a Wednesday. Slay Ride 2.0, Nick Cale and Ron Slay on 104.5 The Zone. Travis Stevens, former VFL running back, joining us at the top of the hour. You'll hear the press conference coming up at 11:30 this morning. Right now, we welcome in our boy Braden Gall from 440 Sports. All right, Braden, last week you and I did a handful of shows, and, you know, we were looking at checking off boxes and, you know, it felt like Dondi Plowman was going methodically down the list from, you know, Danny White to the search firm. And now we get to the head coach of Josh Heupel. Does it still feel like part of the plan, or have we hit a speed bump and have we had to settle here?
Well, I think that remains to be seen. We'll figure that out in about probably, I don't know, three seasons. But it certainly was the plan. The plan was to allow Danny White control of the hire, and he did that. We can now debate whether or not we think that hire was the right move or not. My first inclination, before we dive in to all of the different details about Josh Heupel's very simple offensive scheme, his tempo, the job he did at Missouri, can he recruit, all that stuff, is that Danny White did a very professional job. That's far better than where this program was 3 years ago when we saw the process play out. But I stand by that if Josh Heupel was the best this program could do today, I still think they could have hired and attracted a better candidate in December if they tried to sort of clean up the organization a bit and take their time with it. So I stand by that. That's how I felt about it for 2 weeks now. I still feel that way. It doesn't mean that Josh Heupel doesn't deserve the support and the opportunity to prove me and everyone else who disagrees with the hire wrong and needs to be supported by the University of Tennessee and their fans. So two things are true. He deserves a chance. Danny White made the hire. He's a pro. We'll see if it works. And my opinion is I'm skeptical of the overall big picture success that Josh Heupel will have at Tennessee.
Braden, Ron Slay here, man. Thank you for joining us. One thing I got to ask you, a lot of, I think, former Vols, you know, people that went to university, some that play sports, I think they share the same sentiments as you. They were like a bigger splash, but they're like a turnaround that the process doesn't take as long. But what do you speak to as far as the culture of it, you know, being able to see the success in the past? Do you put a lot of that on Josh or the guys that he brings in as far as the staff that is around him?
Well, I think, number one, unlike Pruitt or anybody that's never been a head coach, he has head coaching experience. So that's a positive and already makes him more qualified than Jeremy Pruitt was 3 years ago. So if anything else, again, just like the process being handled very well, buttoned up, like a professional athletic director handling a professional coaching search, he's got experience. So 28-8 as a head coach, you guys know all the numbers already. So that alone, you know, adds to his credibility as a head coaching candidate, which I wanted to see. I think experience was an important premium. And let's be honest, Danny White knows him so well that he knows the strengths and weaknesses, and you hope that plays in his favor in making this decision, Danny White's decision. I think a lot of it, to your question, is going to be who he brings in on the defensive side of the ball. I have major concerns about what that side of the ball is going to look like in the SEC. It's one thing to go up-tempo, incredibly fast offense that largely defenses have adjusted to in the AAC. It's another thing to try to do it against Georgia's defense and Alabama's defense. And even though those, you know, offense is still king in college, is now king in college football, you know, this tempo, this identity that Josh Heupel is going to bring, which is a good thing, you know, you're going to have to get some stops. Like, you have to play defense, because if the tempo doesn't work against really good defenses, you're off the field in 22 seconds and your defense is right back on the field. So who he builds, what staff he constructs on that side of the ball is going to be incredibly important to his success. And he's just not a defensive guy, so that's not his stuff. He's going to have to bring in a guy that he trusts to sort of handle that side of the ball completely. And that is obviously the number one biggest question for me in terms of how do we evaluate this thing moving forward? Who's going to be the defensive coordinator and who's going to run that staff? That is critical and vital to their success if there's going to be any with Josh Heupel at Tennessee.
Braden, I look at Josh Heupel, and I certainly see the numbers have gone down from a win-loss standpoint in his 3 years. But I feel like maybe some people, either locally in Tennessee or even guys in the Orlando area that covered him, kind of taking a little bit of a shot at him. Oh, he's not the right guy for UCF. Go let him be the wrong guy at Tennessee. But then I look at the history of that program at UCF. You know, Scott Frost had a 13-0 season. He was 6-7 the year before that. He's had three straight losing seasons at Nebraska. And prior to Scott, George O'Leary was there, and he won 54% of his games. I feel like there's this narrative out there that Josh Heupel somehow failed a historical college football power. I'm not sure that that's necessarily the fair way to evaluate his tenure, whether you like the decision or not.
No, and I think you know, coaches are far more complicated than their record is sort of what you're getting at, right? And yeah. And I tend to agree with that there are, you know, there's metrics you can study, whether it's close games. They sort of, all the close games they were winning during that 13-0 season and early in Josh Heupel's tenure, they were losing some of those games the last 2 years. That tends to be a 50-50 proposition over time. You're going to sort of win and lose close games at the same rate. When you win, like the Titans did this, the Titans won almost all of their close games in the regular season in 2020. That's going to eventually come back down to 50-50, and that's sort of what happened with some of those games. But I do think there are some larger overarching signs you can point to that the program at UCF just didn't get better with him in charge. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, if you go from first to second to third, if your recruiting gets worse and you've got the best facilities and the best recruiting footprint and the highest paid athletic director in group of five, like, you should be recruiting and should have the best team in the AAC. Look around the country at coaches that sort of rise through the ranks they dominate in recruiting in their conference, and it's why they win, and it's why they move up. Think PJ Fleck. Western Michigan dominated recruiting in the MAC every year he was there. Then he goes to Minnesota. These guys who dominate their league at the lower levels because of scheme and recruiting, you know, Josh Heupel's team got worse. However you want to define it, they got worse. They were literally perfect when he got there, 13-0. Some of that was Danny White, like, playing up the shtick. But they poured a ton of money into the stadium. It's arguably the most expensive stadium in all of Group of Five football, with some of the best resources and fan support of any Group of Five football team in America, in the most fertile recruiting territory of any team in this league. And they had the seventh best class in the AAC 2 years ago, the fourth best class this year in the AAC. That's concerning to me. The SEC is deep, treacherous waters of recruiting, man. And you've got to know how to swim right away. And if you can't dominate your league at UCF in the AAC in recruiting in the state of Florida, I have concerns about that at the University of Tennessee. Same thing with the record. The team got progressively worse. The offenses were very good. Tennessee's going to have an identity under Josh Heupel. There's going to be a one read and go, one read and throw offense, very quarterback friendly, very simple offense. And it's going to be, there's going to be points scored. The question is, can you beat the best teams in the league consistently with that type of a build of a team? It works fine at Missouri. It works fine at programs like West Virginia or Ole Miss. I just don't know if Tennessee wants to get back to beating Georgia and Alabama and Florida. You know, I have questions about the upside of this hire, in my opinion.
Braden Gall, great stuff as always. Check him out at 440 Sports. We appreciate the time and insight. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate that, Braden.
Pleasure, guys.
No doubt, man.
Brayden Gall joining us here. You know, it's interesting. Look, again, life is not always white and black. It's there's a lot of gray area. That's where life is lived. And you can point out Josh Heupel, his win percentage, better than Scott Frost, better than George O'Leary. You could also point out the negative. The win total went down each year. You can point out the negative side of the recruiting. You could also point out the yards and the points in the last 3 years in college football have been up there with some of the big juggernauts in college football that put up points offensively. I mean, when you're sixth and seventh in yards per play in the country, I mean, that's Oklahoma territory. That's Ohio State territory. So, you know, he's going to bring some fun to Knoxville. We'll see if he can get some stops.
He should. He definitely got to get some stops. I'm interested after this 11:30 press conference. We hear a lot of people that know him not making a splash in the press conference. Why wouldn't anybody? But I want to know, man, and I can't wait to get the listeners back in. How long does it take for you to get on board with it? Is it because the recruits he can land in the offseason? Is it because the guys he can get out of the transfer portal that are thinking about transferring now? What's the splash that can pull everybody back in? Interested to hear the people's take on that, you know, as a fan and as an alum too. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, we'll see what he does at the quarterback position. We know of Virginia Tech transfer Hendon Hooker came to Tennessee, true dual threat caliber guy, one read offense. So maybe that's beneficial to him. We'll see with, you know, how this all shakes out with the personnel. You said you want to hear from the listeners. That opportunity coming up in about 20 minutes. Here's what we have coming up for hour number two, guys. Top of the hour in about 7 minutes from now, former Tennessee running back Travis Stevens. Then we'll get back to your calls at 11:20 and then the press conference coming up at 11:30. Nick and Ron coming back hour two next on 104.5 The Zone.